Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host," and command the people, saying, "Prepare you." You might want to give me a stab at that word. Vittles. Vittles. Anybody watch the Beverly Hillbillies? No. "For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare, get ready. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan." A lot can happen in 3 days. Amen. Get ready, be ready. Be ready. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm going to go to work for a few, little bit longer. I work today. I'm going to keep working. There's a saying, Darren, at workplaces that says, "I'm here for the income, not the outcome." Probably not a good saying, but I figured out something. If you're a Christian and if you're a minister, I'm not here for the income. I'm here for the outcome. Promise you that. Because there should be some outcome to what we do. There should be some progress. There should be some results, Brother Randy. And we've heard the grace of God preached. We've heard the cross preached. We've heard a lot of stuff preached. And probably one of our favorite sermons is grace. Mercy, it's free, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Salvation by grace, salvation through faith. Jesus did it all, he finished it all. But when you read the book of Joshua, as you study through it, you're going to find out that it's a book of transition. It's an old leadership passing away and a new leadership coming into place. God told Joshua to command the people. The reason Joshua could command the people is because Joshua allowed Moses to command him. How do I say this? You ought not to be commanding people unless you know how to be commanded. That's better than y'all gave me credit for, but it'll sink in. You shouldn't be commanding people if you don't know how to be commanded. I've seen ministers, Brother Eddie, join a church, sit in a church for a little bit, and then take off and try to start a ministry, not willing to sit under any ministry to learn anything, and it's a disaster. Because you really need to learn how to be in subjection before you can ever learn to be in leadership. Amen. Joshua understood what it was to serve Moses. He understood that. Moses has passed away. Joshua is getting ready to lead them in to the land that God promised to Abraham. Joshua is getting ready to do something that had never been done before. And God is talking to Joshua. He said, then Joshua goes and commands all the officers. He says, tell the people to prepare food, to get some food ready. And if you think about this, Brandon, I'm not sure how good these people could cook. Because for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness, and all they had to do is reach out the tent and grab the manna. It was there every day. Every day. It was prepared for them. And before that, they were in slavery in Egypt. and they ate from the hand of a taskmaster. So he says, something different is getting ready to happen. He says, you prepare it. You prepare. Prepare you food. Get ready. Because we're get prepare. And you know, let me put this in here. I gotta tell you this. When manna came to the people, it came according to their household. So just to let you know, God didn't drop the same amount of manna for every person. You know that, right? It was for the household. So if there was a few people in the household, then God would give them what they needed for their appetite. If there was a larger, there was more. And I want to tell you this. God's not wasteful, but let me tell you what God will do. God will provide according to our appetite. God will provide according to our appetite. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So sometimes we sit in church and we don't have an appetite for the Spirit of God, and then we get upset when somebody's getting blessed. The reason they're getting blessed is because God gives according to our appetite. If you come to church and you're just looking for just a good time, and if somebody comes looking for the Spirit to move in their life, God takes note of who is hungry and who is thirsty, and he provides according to our appetite. The question is, how hungry are you for the things of God? I know you've been blessed. I know you got a good life. I know you got a good job. I know you got a new good house. I know you got all of that. But how hungry are you for the things of God? Because I'm here to tell you, he's going to provide according to our appetite. Amen. So don't get jealous when somebody's being blessed because you wasn't hungry. Amen? How do we get hungry? How do we get hungry after the things of God? The more we know about him, the more we will hunger after him. Let me tell you how, when we lose our appetite for the spiritual things is usually when we are distant from him. When we get away from him, we lose our appetite for him. Amen? But when we get close to him, the more I seek him, the more I find him, the more I find him, the more I love him, the more I love him, the more I want to be around him, the more I want to be around him, the more I deny the other things so that I can get close to him. How hungry are you? Here's the problem. Let me read this to you so you know I'm not kidding. Joshua 5, I think it's verse 12. Is that where I'm at? Joshua 5. Yeah, here we go. Imagine this. Imagine when this happened. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. The manna did what? It ceased. The manna ceased. That person that you gave five to at the beginning of the sermon, I want you to look at them and say, you ain't getting it for free. Because this manna came every day and it was free. God provided for them. But there came a point when the manna stopped because God is getting ready to do something different. He's getting ready to move them into the promised land. And into the promised land, Dave, he didn't say, there'll be manna there in the morning. He said, you prepare it yourself. This is good. This is so good. Because I need this. I need this. Because what happens, Aaron, is we want to talk about being brought out of Egypt. And that's awesome. We want to talk about being baptized in the Red Sea. And that's awesome. That's powerful. And we want to talk about how he brought us out. But he didn't just bring us out to bring us out. He brought us out so that he could take us in. What I'm telling you is this: God didn't save you just so you wouldn't burn in hell. He saved you because he wants to take you into some promises. He wants you to walk according to his promises. God's got something for his church. There is a kingdom that God wants to advance, and that kingdom is you and I. And I'm telling you, we've already got everything we're going to get for free. Let me say that again. He's already given his mercy. He's already given his grace. He's already given his son. He's already given his spirit. He's already given his word. We got all of that for free. And now it's time to prepare to move into what God ordained us to walk in. Okay. You're here. You don't want to be picked on, don't sit up here. On a level 1 to 10, where you are in your Christian walk right now? Never mind. Any 10s that I can interview right now, any 10s. Any 10s on 1 to 10. Somebody give me, anybody here a 10? Anybody here a 10? We have no 10s in here. I'm failing as a pastor. I thought I'd have one 10. I told Tracy the other day, I said, my wife's a 10, and so is her miles to empty every time I get in her car. One to 10, where are you at? Wherever you are on that scale, and however you scale yourself, here's the question. What have we done to change where we are now compared to where we want to be? Because let's be honest, there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be, right? If not, then you should be a 10. Because if you didn't tell me you was a 10, that means you're saying, I'm a 4 and I'm okay with that. But there's got to be there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be with God. The question is, what am I doing to close the gap? Because if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to stay where I am. Some people fight the same devil because they hang out with the same devil. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about real devils. Some people struggle because they stay in the same spot. So Joshua is getting ready to lead them into the promised land. Now, there's some enemies in there. There's some battles are getting ready to take place. Remember when Moses got them out of Egypt, do you remember what they were complaining about? Do you remember what, they're going to a land with milk and honey, and you tell me what sounds better, milk and honey or garlic and onions? We have any Italians in here? They're like, oh, man, I like the onions. Milk and honey. And they're like, back there in Egypt, we had garlic. But do you know where you're going? You're going to milk and honey. But they were upset because there's an issue. There's a trial. I want you to hear me because I think this is so important to our church growth. What kind of church do we want to be? How do we get there? If I'm going to sing, listen, I want healings in this room. Not for our glory. It's not our glory anyway. You know why I want healings in this room? Because I believe God heals because he loves. I believe that's why he does it. I believe God heals people because he loves them. I believe he saves them because he loves them. I want people healed in this room because I want the love of Jesus exposed to a greater level. Is there anything wrong with that? Then what do I need to do to get from where I am to where I need to be? He said, get ready, prepare your your vittles, get your food ready, prepare, get ready. The preparation is important. He gave them a window. 3 days this is going to happen. And he said, in 3 days, so get ready. You're going to have these provisions ready within 3 days. He said, prepare. How many people in here have ever meal prepped in your life? How many people in here have ever ate ramen noodles, ramen noodles, whatever you call them? More people have eaten ramen noodles than have meal prepped. I just want to let y'all know that. You know why? We don't like to prep. Why prep when it's there in a bag and you can put it in a microwave? Could you imagine? I read this and I think this is so funny. I'm just going to tell you. Could you imagine being a microwave salesman? What's this thing do? Well, you put this stuff in there and it sets the bowl on fire. And the outer edge is so hot and the inside's cold. It's amazing. Well, I don't want one. Don't think I want one. No, I'm telling you, you'll love it. You'll love it. The preparation is key in this verse. When we read this, we just read past it and we just go through it. Because these people were so used to being provided for. Now, let me give you my sermon. We're saved. We've been provided that. But now we have been designed to walk in sanctification, to walk in holiness, to walk in integrity. Now, the only way we're going to get this is if we change our mind. So imagine this. You go outside, he says, hey, get ready. And you go outside and say, where's the manna? You can't have a where's a manna mentality at this time because it's not coming. You follow me? The manna ceased. So they're sitting outside. Where's the manna? Sorry, it doesn't work that way anymore. Just because it worked a certain way before does not mean it's going to work the same way now. It's why we're under a new covenant. If the old covenant would have worked, he would have never done away with the old covenant to establish a new covenant. What are you saying? I'm saying we've got to be thankful for the grace of God. But there must come a point when we realize that we already have that, and now we've got to leave the principal doctrines of Christ, and we've got to go on to perfection. Are you with me? No, preacher, I'm okay being right here in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, I miss the garlic. You got to get rid of that mentality because he's designed us for so much more. So there must be a way that I can close the gap from where I am and where God wants me. That comes by and through sanctification. We are not going to get our inheritance until we grow up into spiritual maturity. Can you say amen? I talked to a man one time, and I'll never forget this. We sat down. The guy was, I don't know, he was some kind of leader in their church. And I sat down with him, and I asked him. I said, man, what kind of doctrines do you hold on? What kind of doctrines do you believe? He looked at me and said, I don't really know. I said, you don't really know any kind of doctrine that you believe? No. And I'm thinking, weren't you a leader in your church? And he said, man, all I heard the whole time I went to church was, you need to be saved. 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 I think he told me 18 years he sat in this church. And he said, need to be saved. And it was an altar call. And you need to be saved. And you need to be saved. Here's the question. What do we do after we're saved? Because I don't think we should come to church every Sunday and talk about our need to be saved. Because we're saved. Raise your hand if you're saved. Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. Look around. If you're saved, look around. I think everybody in this room, everybody in this room saved, then why would I talk about you need to be saved? You already be saved. You already know that. Now the issue is, now that we be saved, what do we be saved for? We are saved for a purpose. And that purpose must drive us to use our hands and prepare for what God is about to do through His church. Can you say amen? So, question again. What have you been doing? What have you been doing to get ready for that? See, when you get ready, it changes things. See, when people are preparing, they change what they do. If you want to know what I'm thinking, watch my hands. Because I am doing what I'm thinking. Are you with me? If you want to know what somebody's thinking, watch what they're doing. Because people do what they're thinking. You say, no, I know some people that don't. We should be doing what we are thinking. Because if we think that God wants us to do something, then we should activate our hands. We should activate. We are the body of Christ. And because we are the body of Christ and we have been called to go into this place, Josh, I am thankful. Listen really close. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for salvation. I am. I'm telling you, He saved a wretch like me, and I shout about it, and I thank God for it. And when they sing about the cross, but I know this, Darren, He didn't just save me just to save me. He saved me for a purpose, and that purpose is not to just sit and look and say, I'm saved. No, that's not it. God's called me to expand a kingdom, to be His hands, to be His feet, to show His love, to show His grace to a world that needs that. Not only that, He's called me to be good to the household of faith. Especially to the household of faith. Am I right, Eddie? I mean, be good to everybody. But especially each other. We got to stop tripping over each other to try to save a world. Can I say that again? He said, oh yeah, God promised you this land. He said, God gave you this promise. He said, the problem is, your brethren don't have their inheritance yet. He said, so what you're going to do is you're going to go fight for them, and then you can come back and enjoy your stuff. Can I say this? Can I have some leeway since it's Wednesday night? I think sometimes we get so self-absorbed, we forget about other people. We get me, 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 me. And when we get me, 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 we forget about everybody else. But let me tell you who our prime example is. Our prime example is Jesus. And let me tell you who Jesus was always concerned about. It wasn't Himself. He was always concerned about somebody else. His goal was always service. His goal was always love. I want Him to be my prime example. And if He's going to be my prime example, I got to move out beyond where I am. And I got to get closer to where He is to be in His likeness. Tell me if I'm wrong. God created man in His image. God created man in His image. So you tell me. If God created man in His image, has anybody seen the image of God? We beheld the glory of the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? You know what? You know, I think our problem is this. We're so concerned about the visible that we forget the invisible. Aaron, I get concerned when I'm so concerned about the people that I see and I forget about Him whom I don't see. Am I making sense right here? because I think this is important in our worship. We're worried about what somebody else sitting three rows up is thinking. And you know, it's weird. Everybody in here thinks that when you're worshiping, everybody's looking at you. They're not. Because it's mathematically impossible for everybody to be looking at everybody else when they're worshiping. Forget about what you see for a moment and get in touch with He who is invisible, so that then we can make the invisible visible. We become the expression of who He is, but we must first get in touch with Him. So we told you, we went through this and we talked about it. And when God's called you to do something, you get sick of talking about people. Try it over here. Maybe that's me. When God's called you to do something, you just get sick of talking about people and their issues. Because what I need, Vicky, I can talk Tom Blue in the face. I can tell people stuff until I'm blue in the face. You know what's really neat about being a pastor? People can leave you whenever they want. But I can't leave them when I want. I've had people come and tell me, hey, we're leaving, we're going to a different church. But I never get to go, hey, I wish you'd leave and go to another church. It's so one-sided with you people. You know what I learned a long time ago, Dave? I love people, but it's not why I do what I do. The reason I do what I do is because I love Him. Because if your love is just for people, they're going to let you down, and then you're going to get aggravated at people. But when you got your eye on the prize, and the prize aren't the people, the prize is walking in what He designed you to walk in. And then you say, you know what? It hurts, but I'm not doing this for you, honey. I know it hurts, but you're not the reason I do this. The reason I do this is because He called me to do it, and I love Him. And because I love Him, I'm going to prepare. Because I love Him, I'm going to keep marching. Because I love Him, I'm going to move forward. Because I love Him, I want to possess it. So I want to possess it. So when people call you up, and they're like, hey, don't really care. I really don't. I really don't care. For real. Because you know what they need? They need Jesus. If I stop caring, not you, Karen. If we can just stop caring. If I can get to the place, Darren, to where my goal is to walk in perfect union with Him and move, close that gap. Because let me tell you what happens. Y'all ready for this? All the gossip and all the running down and all the problem doesn't do anything but keep that gap open. But this is a prayer request. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know what you're doing. And I don't have anybody in mind right now. This is just fun. So if you think I'm preaching on you, I probably am. Division, backbiting, running each other down, none of that stuff is good for closing the gap.
Thank you.
I need this. It's good. There are some people living in some houses in the promised land that we're supposed to be living in. He said, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. Go in and possess it. Go in and possess it. Listen, there are some spirits occupying some healings that are ours, and we need to vacate them. They're blocking the way, and we need to vacate them. How do you do that? Get ready. Get ready. Prepare. And in the preparation, things happen. Let me tell you what faith will do, and I'm closing. Come on. Well, never mind. Aaron's leaving. I'll preach until you get back. Robin, are you going to play? You got up? Josh said, no, you're not preaching until he gets back. I'm shutting this thing down. We ain't waiting that long. Go ahead, Josh. Let me tell you what faith will do. Faith will make you build a boat when it's never rained. And you're preparing. And while you are preparing for this, not everybody's going to be kosher with you. It's good. It's good. What are you doing out there? I'm building a boat. What are you building a boat for? Because God said it's coming. It isn't here yet, but it's coming. See, because, one more verse. Y'all ready? Can I give you one more verse? Do we got time for one more verse? Say it a little bit louder because that wasn't convincing. Okay, that's better. I feel good about it now. One more verse, if I can find it. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. I want you to watch this. This is really good. Then I'm going to let you go. Joshua 1 and 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. For how long?
That is so awesome.
I mean, you think about that. Nobody's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You know what we're between? We're between the was and the will.
Here's your sermon title, Shane.
Between the was and the will. Between what was and what will be is where we are right now. But what will we be? Every person in this room that calls yourself a member of this church or even just kind of likes it here. What kind of church will we be? Will we be a church that comes in, has a nice little service, smiles at each other on the way out, pats each other on the back and says, see you Wednesday. God bless you. Or will we be a church that walks in power and walks in healing and walks in deliverance, and when people come in, they walk out different than the way they came, not because of who we are, but because we know who he is. What are we going to be? What will we be? What will we be? What will we be? Because so many people are hanging on to what was. Milton, I can't do anything with what was. I can't do anything with what happened today because it's already what was. But I can do something with what will be. And the only way to change what will be is to change what I am right now. So what are we going to be? What are we going to be? What kind of church you want to be? What kind of church do we want to be? We want to be a cool, hip church because you got the wrong pastor. I'm not wearing a toupee. Man, I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart because we need to pour our life into this. We're the bride of Christ. What kind of bride are we going to be? What kind of example are we going to be? What kind of fervor are we going to pray with? What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe? Yeah, grace. That we're saved and we believe that. And that is so powerful. What are we going to go from here? Where do we go from here? Are we going to walk in inheritance? Are we going to walk in power? Are we going to walk in deliverance? What are we going to do? Because I'm going to tell you, if we're going to get there, we're going to have to prepare for it. You don't get to just walk into that kind of stuff. They said, man, why can't we cast out spirits? Why don't this work? Like, I mean, come on. How come it didn't work for us? He said, oh, this kind, this comes with preparation. This doesn't just show up. This kind comes by prayer and by fasting. Are we going to be that kind of church? Are we going to be the kind of church that says, whatever it takes, Jesus, I want him saved. Whatever it takes. I don't know how to cook. I don't care. I don't want to know. But if you get hungry enough, you know what you'll do? You'll figure out how to cook. If we get hungry enough, we'll figure out how to prepare for it. You know what's crazy? I believe right here in this room right now, God's putting ideas in your head. Am I right or am I wrong? Has any ideas came in your head? You know what? God, I really feel like I need to. I think this sermon may have been for me. And you know what? I'm getting ready. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready. I'm tired of playing around. I don't want just another church on the side of the road. I don't want that. No, I want a living organism that the Spirit of God can flow from breast to breast, from person to person, from well to well. I don't want to hew out cisterns that won't hold water. We don't need that. We need a flow of the Spirit. We need a flow of the Spirit. We need a flow of the Spirit. Amen. So next Wednesday, we're going to continue this little study. And we're going to talk about ways that we're going to get ready for this. A novice shouldn't preach, Darren. They shouldn't preach. A novice should not preach. You know why a novice shouldn't preach? Because they're a novice. And they don't know how to handle it. You know why they don't know how to handle it? Because they hadn't had time to prepare for it. So if God gives me the gift of healing, I got to know how to handle that. I don't want to blow on people and write books on how to heal and make it rich and then leave. Am I right? We got to know how to handle that stuff. If God does a healing in this service and people start coming in and they start looking for answers, do we know how to handle that? We're going to have to move quickly. We'll have to move quickly, won't we? Amen. That's next week. We're going to sing a song. And I don't know how to close this because it continues next week. Let me try it like this. Come back next week, same time, same channel. That'll be my closing. Let's stand. If you stand, I'll quit.